This message this morning is a message that I believe has come together in the last few moments. As you know, this morning, as a chaplain of the fire company, I was at the fire, and this day started out much different than I anticipated. This week, someone asked me about how am I doing? How was your week? And I like to be honest with people. So if you ask me that question, don't plan on just running off. We do that sometimes, don't we? How you doing? Yeah. I trust we're honest with one another. This was a downer week for me, I guess you could say. We learned in Sunday school, we talked about Elijah being in the cave. I felt like a cave week, okay? Call me a caveman this week, right? I'm not saying that for pity, though. I'm just saying it's real life. And as we, as I approach the Sundays and messages and things, I don't have the this calendar that has a formula on it as far as you need to preach this right here and this is what you've got to cover. I don't know if you think pastors do. Maybe some pastors do that. I don't do that. I have a plan. It's loose, though. And sometimes things are put on the sidebar for other things. And this is one of those weeks where I was thinking of just keep plugging along in the current series, but the Lord has this churning in my heart in this other area, this area of evangelism. And so I was all week, I was like, I'd push in this direction, and then I'd just lose the zeal for it, and God would just say, push me in this other direction of evangelism. And so all week, last night, this morning, I'm back and forth. What are we doing? What are we going to do, right? And then I get this call this morning. And, you know, I was counting on a couple hours this morning to kind of get this thing solidified, right? And no, I am called to the scene of a fire where my whole purpose in being there is to comfort in the name of Christ. To be Christ's mouthpiece and to be a hand on the shoulder, a presence. And so we're going to head in the direction of evangelism. How's that all right? Hope so. I want to share with you something I wrote in my journal this week as I was wrestling through all of this. Now, this is from my journal, so it's kind of just me talking, and it may seem like, well, just it's personal, but here's my latest vision or ministry model that I believe the Lord may desire me to initiate here at CCRG. And I'm understanding something that I am called to be in a leadership position. I am a leadership position here. And so understanding the unique makeup of this church, to yet the call upon us to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would like to give some direction that I believe will help us to more purposefully practice this call upon our church. Our church is made up of people from these communities. And forgive me if I miss your community. Fort Plain, Sloansville, Cherry Valley, Fonda, Laurel Grove, Fultonville, Amsterdam, Sharon Springs, Ames, Tribes Hill, Canajoharie, Nelliston, Schoharie, and Charleston. Our church people work in such places as Albany, Schenectady, Amsterdam, Sharon Springs, Cooperstown, Johnstown, Canajoharie, Northville, and Cherry Valley. I might have missed some. I was just going through the directory. Do you notice the diversity? Do you notice how spread out we are? Spread out our body across this region of New York. Some may look at this and say, why aren't people going to churches in their own communities? Why has God put such a wide and diverse body together and called them to meet in Laurel Grove? You ever ask that question? I do. As a pastor, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it, to think about? I mean, here we are out in the sticks, and people come from all over to gather at this place. I say this, that this is what God has put together, and we ought to view it as an opportunity to reach a greater area with the gospel. How? How do we do this? Each of us must begin to view the people we spend most of our time with or around as our mission field. For most of us, this means those we work with and our neighbors. God has you strategically placed there amongst those people to minister the gospel to them. I want to just stop right there for a moment and direct your attention to Matthew chapter 28. You know this passage, you know it well, but I want to just refresh us with this truth. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has risen from the dead. He is ministering amongst the disciples, final training, and he is going back to heaven, and he has some final words. We call this the Great Commission. But I want you to notice this, and then we're going to pair this with Acts 1:8. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And keep your finger there and go to Acts 1:8, another very familiar passage, but I believe it is familiar because we have been challenged to evangelize, to minister the good news. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, what you notice about this is you notice that Jesus, in his instruction and in his command here, is commanding those disciples to go with purpose. Something that I have struggled with, and perhaps you as well, is that at times I feel like this is my attitude. I will evangelize, but I will let the evangelism come to me. I will do it passively. You ever feel that way? In other words, there is ministry all around us, but we don't necessarily go looking for it. We want it to find us. Now, what is interesting with what happens here after Jesus goes back into heaven, and you have the day of Pentecost. God gathered people there. Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he preached this incredible sermon. Thousands of people came to Christ. But what is interesting is that God didn't tell the disciples, "Stay right here, and I'll bring all the people to you here. So you just wait until they come to you, and then we'll preach. Then you preach." He didn't say that. He said, "Go. Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." He said in Acts 1:8, he said, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What I take from this is God desires us as believers in Jesus Christ to minister the gospel on purpose. And maybe this is a message just for me. Maybe you've already got this. But if not, just be reminded of this important truth. God has you, Christian, here on this earth, not just to be a warm body, but to be a minister. To be a minister of the gospel. That this world might see the light and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus taught that in the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of his ministry. Light that others may see and glorify the Father. So, the question I've asked myself is, if God desires me to evangelize, minister the gospel, the good news, and that's exactly what the gospel means, good news. Listen, we have good news to tell people. And we ought to be purposefully going out and telling and declaring this good news to the world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Follow along as I begin in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, you understand what Paul's saying here. There's a ministry that has been given, and it is a ministry that does not demand you to be dishonest. It is a ministry that does not demand you to be crafty. It's a ministry of handling the Word of God with truth. With clarity. Commending as we proclaim the truth, understanding that it is under the power of God that a person's life is forever changed. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom, now here's the reality of our world, listen to this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the reality of our world. We walk among, we live, we play among people who are blinded, who do not see and comprehend the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, you and I once were blinded, couldn't see, didn't know the truth. But praise be to God, our eyes were opened. The glorious gospel, the light has shone in our lives. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Listen, this good news does not rely upon you. It relies upon Jesus Christ, His power, His glory. It's not about you. You're the messenger. But the glorious gospel, the good news, is all about Jesus Christ. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. This is you. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You understand that? I mean, we are those earthen vessels, and we aren't too pretty. We aren't too extravagant. But we are proclaimers of the good news. And God takes the proclamation of the good news from earthen vessels, and he does mighty things with it. He did it in your life. And he is doing it. He's doing it in the lives of children. How do you view the people you spend most of your time with? You know, you may walk away from this and you say, you know what, it's hard to go to work and view them as a project. You ever feel that way? You don't want to make them a project. All right, maybe that's a term that has become negative. The reality is, don't look at them as a project. Look at the ministry God has for you to proclaim the good news, and watch and see what God does. I love the testimonies that you folks have shared. There, how you are going about what you know you're supposed to be doing, and then God, boom, brings something across your path, and you say, "This is where I need to talk. I need to speak the name of Jesus. I need to proclaim the good news." And you do so, and you encourage, and you point people to Jesus. Do you go to work with purpose? Do you walk down your street in your neighborhood on purpose, on a mission? And you see a neighbor out, engaging them in conversation, showing them love, showing them grace. You know, God's doing this in my own life as a chaplain of the fire company. Oh, it's nice to be a part of something and to be there and encourage these men and women. But I'm realizing more and more that this is a place God has me, and I need to be very purposeful about this ministry. It is easy for me to just sit back and be quiet and wait for them to come to me, wait for some tragedy to happen, and then I'll minister. God wants to light a fire under me. Says, you know, Josh, this is... You need to be on purpose. You need to be going. You need to be a witness. Here's something for us to think about as a church. Because we are so diverse, we have at times struggled, because sometimes we get this in our mind that because we are the Christian Church of Rural Grove, that our ministry has to be focused and directed here in Rural Grove. Now, I am not discounting the fact that God has a church here in Rural Grove, and that this church has been here for 160 years, that God has used this church in this community. But I want to tell you that in the past, people that came to this church were from this community. Today, there are, I can think of 3 or 4 homes that are represented in this community, in this church. The vast majority are not from this community. So as a minister of the gospel and the pastor of this flock, I have truly wrestled. Because calling upon and asking the flock to come and to minister in this grove is a good and noble thing, but I cannot be naive to the fact that you are doing ministry and God has called you to ministry fields elsewhere, out beyond this grove. And that God is doing a mighty work in and through your life, and he wants to be doing that. And God has you as a part of this church to be equipped and empowered to do that ministry. So here are some thoughts and some ideas and some things that may be of an encouragement and help to us. You know, this is a building, And we've talked about this. The church is what, children? People, right? The church is people. The adults, you knew that, right? Yeah, the church is people. It's not a building. All right? If the church is people, not a building, so then as we come week after week, we gather together, the church gathers together. It's not that people gather in the church. It's that the church gathers together in a building. You understand that? You get that? All right. So if this is the gathering place for believers, so on Sunday mornings and throughout the week, the believers, the church of God, all the different members of the church gather together at this central location in Rural Grove. Why do you gather together? This is a great question and great something. Why do you come? Why do you gather together? Why do I stand here? Why do you have a pastor? Okay? Why are there deacons? You see, God has designed all of this with this whole intent that the church be people and that the people are ministering the gospel and that the church be the equipping place. That the church be the place where the people come to be re-energized, to be equipped, so they can go and do the work of the ministry. Now, I'm not saying ministry doesn't happen here in a church, because I know it does. But I dare say, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I dare say that a lot of ministry takes place outside of our gathering times throughout the week. Have you thought about that? Now, here's something that I believe is important for us. If that is true, how can the church be involved in all that ministry? I mean, if you're ministering in Schenectady at 4 o'clock at your desk in an office building, how can the church be involved in that ministry? Should the church be involved in that ministry? This is all incredible questions, right? But here's the challenge that God has laid upon my heart, and I want you to just really chew on this and think about this. We know we are to be purposeful about ministering the good news, and we know that we gather together regularly, and we gather together for equipping, we gather together for fellowship, encouragement, comfort, all of those things. Why? Because God has a ministry for you and you and you and me, a ministry. Can I tell you something? The ministry that God has for me this morning was being there at that firehouse and that fire company. Can I tell you how you encouraged me in that ministry? Because you pray for me, and some of you you know more about my involvement there than others. But I dare say now, you'll be praying for me. Every Tuesday night, first Tuesday of the month, I go over there for a meeting. Would you write that on your calendar and start praying for me? That's a ministry that God has called me to. And that's a way the church can reach the world, is when we go and we minister and we pray. You pray. What about you? You know something's coming up. Maybe God has led you to meet with a coworker every Wednesday for lunch. Does anybody know about that in the church? Tell the church and say, on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock noon, I'm meeting with so-and-so. Will you pray? That's the church. I mean, that's the church. And so then we come back, we gather together, we report what God is doing, and we keep praying. We minister. So this is the gathering place. And so we have all of these different mission fields. Now, the incredible thing is that it goes so much further beyond where you live and where you work. But look at this, okay? So if you go from this place and you have a vision to reach your neighborhood with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know God has called you to be ministering the good news on purpose. So you have some people in your mind, a neighbor that you've built a relationship with, and you say, I want to invite that neighbor over to my house for dinner. Not necessarily I'm not going to set up an evangelistic crusade, but I'm going to have them over to dinner, and I'm going to pray and trust God that I'm going to have an opportunity to share Christ with them. All right, so you go from this place, and you go to the neighborhood of Fort Plain, okay? And you go and you call upon a neighbor, maybe two neighbors, and you say, we're going to have a cookout two Saturdays from now. Please come. And so they come. But what you do is you tell the church. And you say, church, two Saturdays from now, people are coming to my house. And God, I believe, wants me to minister the good news of the gospel in their lives. Will you pray? And then church, what do you do? You mark that on your calendar, and you pray. Now, why is prayer? You've got to be a believer in prayer. We have to be a believer in prayer, folks, or we're done. We're done. Pray, because God is big. He's infinite. And he's so personal with each one of us. And he wants to work the gospel. And you realize what's going to happen is you're going to minister to these neighbors and they're going to like you. They're going to like you. Why? What's not to like? Now that would be another message. They're going to like you. And God's going to do a work in their hearts and their lives. And you know what? Some of them are going to get saved. Some of them are going to come to Christ. Their lives are going to be forever changed. You know what you can do? Is you can say, you know what? We gather together on Sundays. We've got a gathering place of people just like me where we're encouraged, we're built up, we're equipped, we're studying the Word of God, we're singing together. You come. You know what? God's going to grow his church. He's going to grow his church. Don't get caught up in the Fort Plain idea. You've got your own environment, your own sphere of ministry. And I don't want to dictate what that is. Is it your neighborhood? Is it your street? Is it your little office and a couple cubicles? Is it a customer? You know. Maybe it's family. You know who that is, that sphere of ministry. And so you go and you minister in that sphere. And minister the gospel. Show the love of Christ. Be there. You know something that happened? We had a flood. There was a flood over in Fort Plain. What was that, 2 years ago? Right? We had some folks that were in that flood. And the church went over and ministered to those folks. Now, they were a part of the church. But you know what happened was there was a neighbor that saw that happen. And some of the church people went over and helped the neighbor. This is ministry. And that what that does is that allows these neighbors to have a conversation, to have a relationship that is built upon something that is sweet. The good news. It's good news. And the church can pray for these things, and we pray specifically, and we pray knowing God is able. This is what God has called you and me to do. The church is here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And this, the church, people, is God's design so that we can do this. Because he knows we need one another. He knows we need this fellowship, this encouragement. We need this. We need solid, clear teaching of the scriptures. That's what God has laid upon my heart and other pastors like me. We know that we need people, men, to care for the body when they're in need, the deacons. See, God's put it all together. But it's all with this express purpose of ministry, the good news. And it's purposeful. Not passive. Not just sitting back and waiting. You know, I've done that for a long time, and I'm realizing, reading through the scriptures, it's you got to be more purposeful, Josh. You know, some of you maybe have a lot of children in your neighborhood. What about doing a 5-day club? In your neighborhood, you could even call on other church members to help you. Now, that's a novel idea. Bring the snacks, do it all, and it'd be in your neighborhood. And ministry's happening, and the church is praying. A 5-day club. I know we've got people here that know what that is. And we've got people who could teach those things. You could do a Bible reading evening. Have you ever considered this? Maybe you have some neighbors or friends that you've built a relationship with them. Why not inviting them over and say, we could read the Bible together? Maybe they've demonstrated some curiosity, and you take the Gospel of John and you just begin reading the Bible together. Not big Bible study, you just read it. Because a lot of people are curious about the Bible. And you know what God's going to do? Because that's His living Word, is God's going to begin to churn in their hearts questions. And maybe that could build into week after week. Just reading the Bible. Let's read the Bible together. What about ministering to those that are hurting? Do you know a neighbor or a coworker that has lost a loved one? Grieving? Or maybe they've lost a job, or maybe they're just in a very difficult situation and they're hurting. Why can't us Christians, why can't we take a meal over to them? Maybe we don't know them real well, but we've heard that they're hurting. And we just take a meal over to them with a nice card. We don't have to say a lot. Here, that's on purpose. And you're doing that in the name of Jesus. There's no other reason why you do that, but you do it because Jesus takes care of the hurting. You can do that. If it's somebody in your office, you can minister to them words of comfort. A resource. We've got a resource library. We're working on getting it organized. And Lord willing, we'll have resources like that, that you can just come and you can say, hey, this is something that my coworker could use. Boom. Done. Not done. Boom. Begin. Ministry. But here's something. I know a lot of you are doing this, but you're not telling the church about it. You're doing it alone. Well, God's with you, but I implore you, would you allow the church to be a part of this ministry? Would you allow the prayers of the saints to bolster you, encourage you, and build you up? Communicate with us. Tell us about it. That we might be able to help one another in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news. This is the gathering place. The gathering, a time where we gather together as the church. And we are equipped and encouraged and built up in our faith to go out into this world. And we know this world is hard. They're hardened. They're blind. But God has you out there. You know what? And each one of you are in unique places that I can't go, but you are there. And you are there because God has you there, Christian. And because God has you there, He has you there with a purpose and a mission, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads. This is a time for reflection, because today's message was highly exhortative. And in my even in my own heart, this has been churning, and this demands some thinking. Has God brought people to your mind this morning? Because this is about people, all right? People. Has God brought some people to mind? Man, I want to encourage you, write them down right now. Write their names down. Maybe it's a family across the street. Maybe it's a coworker in the next office. Whatever it might be, would you write their name down? Now, are you willing to open up your home, to open up your life, to minister to them? I know we're very private people. But we need to put that aside, because the time is short. We never know when our life on this earth is over. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. He could be today, folks. It could be today. Now, that's a glorious thought for us as believers. But there are many that do not know the Lord. Oh God, I cannot deny what you have said in your scriptures. Jesus, how you were on earth and you just exhorted your followers to be purposeful about declaring the good news. I can't get around the fact that, Lord, in the Gospels, you used the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John to minister incredible words of encouragement and strength and instruction to your church. But why? For that purpose, because we are a lighthouse in this dark world. And this lighthouse needs to be strong, upright, pleasing to you. God, oh God, we want to ask for big things. We want to ask you for souls to be saved. Lord, that lives would be changed. Lord, that even our perspective as Christians, that you would just rebuke us for our self-centeredness, for our passivity, our passiveness. Embolden us. Give us boldness, God. Encourage. We've got good news to share. Oh, it is so precious to be together with your people. Thank you for gathering us together. In Jesus' name, amen.